Hello, good morning. How are you? Let us do something hopeful at the beginning of the programme. In fact, there's quite a few things in this morning's programme to lift your spirits. But let us begin with a possible solution to one of our knottiest problems. By this time next week, we will know what decision Brussels has made on Ireland's opt-out from the Nitrates Directive. Lose that derogation or alter it, and a large number of productive farms will be pushed into financial distress. Continue farming at the intensity that we are in some places, and we will ultimately lose life in many rivers. It's a real rock and a hard place situation. But instead of sitting back and admiring the problem, this morning we're going to take a look at what has been a very elegant, nature-based solution in other countries. A humble little herb grass that was for a long time officially regarded as a weed.
This little plant here, and that's its stem.
Rib worth planting.
It is on the science front. It's a grass herb. It's a natural anti-wormer. It's also really high protein.
By complete coincidence, I've ended up talking to several farmers about the same herb in their pastures. Ribwort plantain, one that cows find particularly tasty. It's a cluster of spear-shaped leaves tightly bunched into a rosette at the base, with a single wiry stem supporting a seeding flower about a half a metre off the ground.
Besides all of that, the cows like it, and you'll see it now when we go back down to the shed. You'll see it in the silage, and it's like this black. It just comes this black, but it's really high protein. Like, they reckon that protein can be up on 17-18% in this little grass herb.
Dairy farmer Sinead Moran in particular raved about it on the programme this time last year.
It's deemed a weed, and it is the most fantastic plant.
So everything from skin treatments
to natural anti-wormer to high protein for the cows to reduce ammonia in their urine.
Now just hold that thought about plantain gobbling up ammonia in your head for 1 minute. While we fast forward from countrywide last November to countrywide 2 weeks ago, when freshwater ecologist Dr. Elaine McGough spelled out the problem.
The majority of that nitrogen on free-draining soils is coming from animals when they're out at pasture. It's our grass-based system that we often, you know, talk about. It's the cattle out on the land urinating. That's driving about 60% of the nitrogen being lost from dairy farms. No one is talking about that. So if you want to address that, you're going to have to tackle that. You're going to have to grapple with that really inconvenient fact, which nobody is doing to date.
The lion's share of the nitrates polluting rivers is coming from cows standing in the field and peeing. And most of the solutions that we are applying won't stop that from happening. In Waterford, Thomas Maloney was listening to that programme, and he wrote to Countrywide saying, please come and have a look at the experiments that we have been running with ribwort plantain.
So this is our distribution centre. We share this with Seatech to look after the cereal side of the house. So all of our grass is mixed.
Wow.
Thomas works for DLF Seeds. They have an enormous warehouse facility in Belmont Port.
It's cleaned here, bagged up here, and distributed from here around the country down to the merchants. Oh.
Thomas was impressed by the way New Zealand had used plantain to address its nitrates issue, and wondered if the same solution would work in Irish pastures.
It grows anywhere. If you look out your garden or you look along the roadside, you'll probably see plantain or its native cousins growing in the ditch. So it's built for our climate, built for our conditions. I suppose where the...
Across the other side of the Shure estuary from Belmont Port, near Passage East, DLF has a test site, a field where they've been stitching plantain into different kinds of grass pastures and spraying it with cow's urine to see how much of the nitrogen the little herb will take up.
Look, it's early days in terms of its investigations in Ireland, but there's been a couple of promising papers published in the last couple of months that are kind of repeating what the Kiwi experience. Okay.
What did you take away from what you heard Elaine McGough saying on the programme a few weeks ago?
she put the argument, she put the case forward in a way that you wouldn't normally hear, I suppose, from the agricultural side of the house. It was clear. It was what really caught my attention was the phosphorus solutions for a nitrogen problem. And maybe we're not so clear. We've got these guidelines, but are they the right guidelines in the right place? I know a lot of the environmental scientists would always talk about the right place and the right measure at the right time. So are we actually doing that with some of the stuff?
How does plantain address that problem?
Plantain has some nitrogen inhibiting properties, basically. So it works in roughly four ways. So there's two ways in the cow, and then there's two ways that the plantain plant does it in the ground. So first of all, plantain is a diuretic, so it makes the cows pee more. If they're peeing more, they're spreading that nitrogen that's in the pee more evenly around the field. It's also more dilute, so the amount of nitrogen in each pea is less. So we're getting the twofold aspect there.
Is it not a trade-off, though? More pea, but same amount of nitrogen ultimately, or is it reducing the amount of nitrogen?
You're not getting the same hotspots. So you mentioned about plants being able to uptake it. You're not getting the same dose of nitrogen on any one spot.
Concentrated.
Exactly,
fashion.
It's not as concentrated. Another aspect is that it kind of redirects the nitrate inside in the animal, so it sends more of it towards milk and feces, where it's a little bit more stable, instead of going to the urine. So we're getting less nitrate in the urine, and we're getting more dilute urine. So that's two. There's two factors that are happening inside in the cow.
And outside?
Outside, then, there is a chemical. They think it's a chemical or a plant secondary compound called ocubin that is being released, I suppose, by the roots of the plantain, which also upsets the nitrification cycle in the ground. So when, say, a cow urinates or pees on a patch of ground, the nitrogen is in ammonium form. The plantain exudes this chemical, and it delays the breakdown of the ammonium to nitrate, which is the leaky form that we don't want getting into the river. So it gives it slows down this process, so it gives the plant the chance to take up the ammonium form rather than the free nitrate being released.
And how much of it is it taking up versus what perennial ryegrass say?
I would say a lot more than perennial ryegrass. Obviously, it's variable, depends on the weather, depends on your soil type, depends on what's going on. But the studies range from 30% up to over 90%. So it depends on the weather, depends on time of year, depends on your soil type. But even at the lower end of that scale, a 30% reduction in nitrate, potentially up to over 90%, is huge.
It's a very clever and elegant solution, then. It's reducing the amount of nitrogen in the pea, it's making the pea more dilute and spread more evenly around the field, and when the pea hits the ground, it's stopping it from going straight to the waterways and giving it more chance to be taken up by a growing plant.
Exactly.
Win-win-win. In some parts of the field, Thomas has plantain that grows in the summer. In other parts, they have a variety that grows in the winter. A mix of the two could ensure that plantain diverts nitrates from rivers all year round.
At the minute, the consensus is plantain is firstly a weed and that all plantains are the same. But there's plantain in this plot here beside you. So this is the winter dormant type. So you can see the way that it's sat down on the ground, it's hugging the ground.
Yeah.
That you look at that plot, an initial glance, you wouldn't think there was any plantain at all. You have to
almost
to
looks
it.
Like a succulent. It's that small,
exactly.
And that clumpy.
Yeah, it's gone to hibernate for the winter. So this one is winter active. You can see it's standing up proud in the sward. It's growing. It's slowly growing, but it's growing more than the one beside it. So this guy is active in September, October, at those leaky nitrate periods, and also in the early part of the year too. So
do you know what you haven't got in this field, though, is any livestock? How well does it do? Because it looks like quite a delicate herb. How well does it do with the heavy passage of animals over it?
Good point. And that is the drawback. So we're used to perennial ryegrass and having to reseed every 10 years and it lasting for a long, long time. Unfortunately, the lifespan of your plantains and your herbs are not as long. So if these plots here, as you say, under pretty much perfect conditions, they're being cut, are 3 years old. They've had three full seasons. They're still pretty healthy, but that's not going to be the case on farms. Okay. So you're looking at two good years, I would say, and then you see a reduction in the population.
Okay. And can you reseed with Mintil there, or do you need to turn over the sod and start again from scratch?
It's something that we're looking at. You don't have to turn over the sod from scratch. You can try and oversow similar to what we do with white clover in a Mintil fashion. Success is hit and miss, but it's something that we might have to figure out.
It doesn't seem like that bad a trade-off, though, really, does it, having to reseed every 3 years as opposed to every 10 years, if it would enable you to keep your current stocking density?
Yeah, that would be my point of view. And the other part is, we often get asked by farmers, like, what proportion of your farm do you need this to? I'm not saying that we need every single field in the country to include plantain. If we pick the sites carefully, if we have a percentage of the farm, we can extrapolate then the percentage benefit that we can get from it.
So hypothetically, you would have this in your milking platform paddocks, and then your outfields that you're taking grass off, you wouldn't need to bother.
Exactly. This is for grazing. Not going to survive that well in a silage system where we're accumulating big covers of grass. It won't be able to compete, but it manages pretty well in a grazing system.
Thomas Maloney from DLF Seeds in Waterford. So, that key figure of his, anywhere between 30% and 90% of the pollutant that is damaging our rivers potentially diverted. In theory, because it is an open question, is ribwort plantain an effective nature-based mitigation to a man-made problem, or will it just get trampled and eaten to death and prove too expensive and too cumbersome to reseed? Well, I'm calling this next segment of the programme, Let's Ask an Actual Farmer About This. Thomas Duffy is an actual dairy farmer with actual plantain in his fields being trodden on by actual cows. Good morning, Thomas.
Good morning, Philip.
How has plantain actually been in your fields?
Yeah, as Thomas kind of mentioned there, it's short-lived. So we have a bit of mixed experience with it. On ideal soils, cows absolutely love it. They graze it out very well. There's no issues there. But you are talking about it kind of peaks at year two, and then year three, you will get a good bit. But by year four, a lot of it has disappeared. And so you're into a bit of a challenge there. At the moment, we don't know enough about how to graze it, what height to leave it to, what height to leave the grazing out at. So it can be a challenging part of a multi-species sward.
More research needed then, obviously. But if there are benefits, if the swings and roundabouts to all of this, is one outweighing the other? I know you're a man who's very fond of his maths. I'm sure you've done the numbers.
Yeah. So I suppose that the challenge is, if you're moving from reseeding every 10 years at a cost of 500 euros per acre to every 4 years at 500 euros per acre, and realistically the return is about 2 to 3 years, you do make it very challenging economically for a farmer. But if I was to sit down and figure out whether I was going to save that amount, I would absolutely. If we needed to take, say, 20, 30% of my farm and reseed it every 3 years, economically, it would be a lot cheaper than having to move to 170 for most farms that are at 220. Yeah.
When you say 170 from 220, you're talking about reducing the number of cows to become compliant with a world in which there is no derogation from the Nitrates Directive.
The equivalent of essentially losing the derogation for that farm. The other thing we have to also consider is the environmental impact. So you're going to be burning a lot more diesel, emitting more carbon from the soil, and especially on some of these soils that are very light, are sequestering carbon actively. So we do have to balance those two things, and that has to be considered. But as a solution compared to some of the other solutions that have been proposed, like feeding cows nitrogen inhibitors, other modifications that can be done, or even spraying nitrogen inhibitors onto soils, I think this one would very much be welcomed by farmers.
Is it easy to oversow? Is it as simple as just heading out with the tractor and running around the field a couple of times?
No, unfortunately, it's not as easy as either clover or grass. And so it would be interesting, again, to see more research on a protocol that we would be able to do. So can we hit back the grass? Because the problem is plantain doesn't really like to compete with an established grass sward. That's where the big challenge comes in. So if we overseed, do we need to do something to reduce down the grass beyond simply grazing it?
On balance, though, Thomas, if the options are A, ensure that 30% of my pasture is composed of plantain, or B, lose a half a cow or more on every hectare, which is the better option?
On those light, dry soils, absolutely the plantain would be more economical. As long as we can address the practical challenges of weed control and actually getting it into the sport.
Okay, well, hopefully a bit of good news that does require more research. But Thomas Duffy, actual farmer in Cavan, thank you very much for talking to us this morning.